shagangi, tan lo ti nye dun di gunzok. Tan nangzang ti ma tsimba chigi, tan ti ngoda nadang kharishu nangzang da si puli ya zaijiru shani. Yon tingi lo ti nye dun di tanda ba sari.
In order to understand selflessness, one needs to understand the two truths. And in a brief way that's easy to understand, conventional truths are objects found by a consciousness that distinguishes phenomena that undergo change, that distinguishes conventional phenomena. Whereas ultimate truths are objects found by a consciousness that analyzes for the deeper mode of subsistence of phenomena. Now, these phenomena which we see and observe undergo many changes. And it is by way of causes and conditions that they undergo change. Thus it is by way of some factor other than just what's appearing there that that it undergoes changes, that we get these various dependent arisings that are helpful, harmful, good and bad.
Comparative change, tell a third in the day, tell a third in the day, in the day, and I should sound and chit the chung, she showed you your deva. Young Coran Shink is sounding and chit the chung caras lovna, she compares my channel, show you medeva. In a compares Shabatane, Shazig Namshat, and show you the Mugushin Ruwa.
There are many phenomena with which it can be said that in comparison to such and such, this is better or worse. It is only through comparison that good and bad, better and worse can be presented. However, there is a whole field of a presentation of value within comparison.
Because
there is a discrepancy between the way things appear and how they actually are, in the sense that something may, in terms of its mode of appearance, be very good, but through being affected by causes and conditions, actually can turn into something that's bad. Thus, there are levels within this discrepancy between how things appear and how they actually are.
Hmm.
Thus, there are objects found by a conventional consciousness that is operating within the sphere of mere appearances, And then there are objects found by consciousness that, you know, that upon not being satisfied with the mere appearance of the object, analyzes to see whether the object exists in its own right or not, and discovers this absence of phenomena existing in their own right.
Yeah.
So let's leave it at that for today. So then tomorrow morning I will give the remainder of the discussion about emptiness. And then we'll explain a little about the various modes of, or the various thoughts behind the schools of Tibetan Buddhism, Nyingma, Kagyu, Sakya, and Gelug. And then I will perform the rite for the aspirational intention to become enlightened. For those of you who have come just for academic purposes, I'll be announcing at the point of beginning the rite for the aspirational intention to become enlightened, and there'll be no need for you to stay beyond at that point. But even if you stay, you have no need to hide. It's okay. If a householder wanted to leave the householder life and become a monk or nun, but this action would cause much unhappiness to their spouse and children, then wouldn't this be seen as causing suffering? It said that one should not neglect a greater purpose for a smaller purpose. Therefore, one needs to consider what the benefit and or what the advantages and disadvantages are, both temporarily and in the long run. One needs to consider the circumstances of the particular situation. Are there conflicts of theory among Tibetan schools of Buddhist philosophy, and have you yourself, Your Holiness, had to choose between following one school or another?
Because rubs and loving some tension. Cheta shugol and the thermos rubs and love to know, touch love some day. Chakanda, Tuzu Mendrave China town, Chiglama Sosu Yam Yongi China, Sundan Dodos Mendra. Chi Yungi are it, Yanji emphasis Chitan Tony Dodos Mendrash. In it, Chigzai China, Chiguri, Chigu Yimbus on the Masse, She started going in some log.
I've mentioned a little about this before and we'll be talking about it more later, but for the time being, the various orders that arose in Tibet are largely due to differences in time and due to the particular transmissions from lamas who began them. In any case, when one understands an explanation from among any of the four basic orders, Nyingma, Gagyu, Sakya, and Gelu, it helps to understand an explanation of a similar topic in the other orders. All of them are getting at the same thing. In all four orders, the practitioners are studying the great text of the six ornaments of philosophy in India. However, in terms of the religious terminology, it seems that in Sakya and Gelu, more of the terminology of those great texts is used. In those cases where the religious terminology does not superficially agree with what is in the great text, these are cases of great lamas who are giving specific teachings from their own experience to trainees with certain predispositions and interests. And if you look into the matter in some detail, you find that although the terminology may be different, the meaning is the same. Is it correct to assume that one must first rid oneself of the obstructions and attain understanding of emptiness before one can really practice compassion for all sentient beings? There are differences here with regard to the sharpness or dullness of faculties. It is said that those with sharp faculties first realize emptiness and on the basis of that generate an even greater compassion. But in general, although it's easier to come to an understanding of what compassion is, it is more difficult actually to generate it in your mental continuum. Thus it's more difficult to generate to actually generate compassion in the continuum than it is to understand emptiness. But since it is easier to gain an understanding of what compassion is, it seems beneficial to gain that understanding and practice compassion. What are the karmic implications of in vitro fertilization? What are the karmic implications of a refrigerated embryo? The first is in vitro fertilization in the test tube, in glass. Well, what is the... I think the question may be, is there a consciousness entering into the test tube? In both the sutra and mantra or tantra systems, it is said that the consciousness enters when the male and female elements mix together, this being within the context that there's nothing wrong with either of those elements, and so forth. Thus, it would seem to be that whether the coming together of those elements is inside the womb or is outside of the womb, the consciousness would have to enter at the point at which they're mixed, or while they're mixed. It's difficult to know this exactly.
There are explanations in Tantra that...
Tantra, Mari. Chitta.
Oh, there are...
Lujunam. Lujunam.
Lujunam.
Lujunam, Loliya. Kuzo, the Pai Savin Zasha, the day. Oh, the day, my Nyalia, Lun. Fimi Nyalia, Lun, Nyacha, the day, Lujujong.
There are...
When you show good day, you know, Marwata.
The entry of consciousness does not necessarily have to be at the time when male and female are in union, for there are stories of semen having come out and being inserted into the vagina and fertilization taking place at that time. Thus, it doesn't necessarily have to be at a time of male and female union.
The Shunsosu Kadulia, Pamanin, Deja Tabuma, the Guru Gavlas, and Yashi to shame we are. So that, and they are Lugina, this Yavinza, does Tramino sometimes.
But there are some texts that say that the consciousness enters when the male and female are at a point of strong desire. But this disagrees with what is in various stories.
In the Tamna Lushavati,
what are the karmic implications of a refrigerated embryo? I'm not sure if this means for the person who refrigerates it or for the being who is refrigerated. Both. No, it's not clear, but I could take it from the point of view, both points of view. So if the question is whether the once the connection has been made to the new life through fertilization, would that being whose body, or what do you say, the embryo is being refrigerated, would that being undergo suffering, the suffering of cold? Because the very beginning of the body has already started, thus the physical sense has begun. And so it's a question of, since there is that physical sense, would there be then contact, and could there be feeling even from the very start? That I can't come to a decision on.
Discuss jado.
It's a topic for discussion.
But
then, presumed that the embryo did under, or that the being there in the embryo did undergo the suffering of cold, then we can consider the question of whether the person who puts the embryo in the refrigerator would be accumulating some bad karma due to that action. This would depend upon the motivation of the person and depend upon the purpose in doing so. You can't say that just because the other being undergoes some suffering due to something involved with yourself, that you yourself accumulate some bad karma. For instance, the a child in the mother, a fetus in the mother's womb, undergoes suffering due to being in that womb, but the mother doesn't accumulate any bad karma. Similarly, also, when the child is born, there's great suffering, but the mother does not accumulate any bad karma just because of that. So if that were the case, then a mother who had many children would have accumulated a great deal of bad karma. Could His Holiness please give some good advice to people just starting Buddhist practice?
As usual, my suggestion is be a patient, right? And less expectation. I must be honest and a good citizen of the country, a good member of the community. That is the most important. Whether
one knows things that are very profound or vast, it's important to behave properly in one's current situation. Could you please explain how karma can ripen in one lifetime when it is explained in the 12 links of dependent arising that it takes 3 lifetimes to ripen? With regard to the 12 links of dependent arising, it is said that at the least, it would take 2 lifetimes in order for the 12 to occur, or at the most 3 lifetimes. In the discussion about actions or karmas that ripen right in this lifetime, one is not speaking about karmas that impel another lifetime. Whereas in the 12 links of dependent arising, the term action or karma there refers to actions that impel other lifetimes. Actions done and accumulated in the early part of one's lifetime that ripen in a later part of the same lifetime would be cases of very strong virtuous or non-virtuous actions done earlier that later on in the lifetime begin bearing their effects. In the treasury of knowledge, it is mentioned that our world is a level of particularly strong karma. But it's not that everything that is explained in the treasury of knowledge has to be taken literally. For instance, with regard to the path of liberation, wisdom, and so forth, since the text is set out in terms of lower systems of tenets, it can be seen that everything it says is not necessarily literal. In similar ways, similarly, with regard to other topics also, we could infer that what it says is not necessarily literal.
Rigoda medembe, tumda kyanana, 마오보 덤베 가서 마오보 세메기부 미루는 실수 소원 인도 그다음에 제바를 넣어용했지 아니 캐나는 룽구메나 다 무슨 그 누구잖아 and they are going to come on.
For instance, if one asserted the cosmology as it is explained in the Treasury of Knowledge, this would be contradicted by direct perception. And since it is said that a person is not valid if, with respect to a particular topic, if that person asserts something that is contradicted by inferential realization, then it would even more be the case that it would be unsuitable or invalid to assert something that would be contradicted by direct perception. In the treasury of knowledge, many distances and heights of this and that and so forth are set forth, which only make a lot of trouble. could you explain the death process? What happens when we die? In a very brief way, as I was saying yesterday, there are the internal five elements, and the process of death takes place over the dissolution of these elements. It is with the decrease in the capacity of the earlier elements in the list of earth, water, fire, wind, perhaps also space. It's with the decrease of their ability to serve as a basis of consciousness serially, one by one, and the increase in the capacity of the later elements to serve as a basis of consciousness that the process of death unfolds. In Maitreya's Sublime Science, there is an explanation that superficially appears to be connected with the external elements, but I think this could be implied to the internal elements. And the process is explained in many places, in great detail, in many texts of highest yoga tantra. And when the earth element dissolves into the water element, one's body becomes thinner and the body becomes thinner. When the water element dissolves into the fire element, one's mouth, the watery elements in the body dry, one's mouth dries, the nose puckers. And when the fire element dissolves into the wind element, the heat in the body diminishes. There are different ways that the heat element withdraws from the body. It can begin to withdraw from the feet or upwards to the heart, or it can be begin withdrawing from the top of the head downwards. I've asked various doctors about this, but have not received clear communication about this yet. Then when wind dissolves into space or into consciousness, the external breath ceases. Then the remaining dissolutions. The remaining phases of dissolution occur within the dissolution of the coarser levels of consciousness into the subtler. This comes about by way of the dissolution of the winds or inner energies that serve as the mounts of consciousness, the coarser dissolving into the subtler. The phases here are called the radiant white appearance, the radiant red or orange increase, and the radiant black near attainment. In terms of internal signs or appearances, when the four elements dissolve, there is first an appearance like a mirage, then appearance like smoke, then an appearance like fireflies within that smoke. And then there's an appearance like a flickering or sputtering butter lamp, a candle lamp, flame. When one arrives at the point of the radiant white appearance, one's breathing has stopped, the external breath has stopped entirely, and the warmth of the body has completely gathered and gone away. Whereas a doctor would consider that the person had already died, from the Buddhist point of view, there would be no certainty that the consciousness had left the body at that point. Well, it had left. The passage through the minds of radiant white appearance, radiant red or orange increase, radiant black near attainment can be faster or slower, and then there are cases of people remaining in the final state, the mind of clear light of death, for only a short period of time, others for a longer period of time, and then even cases of people remaining in it for a week or two. The sign that the person is remaining in the clear light is that the body doesn't begin to rot and smell. Nowadays, there are Tibetans who have been tortured in jail in Tibet, and who, upon returning to the cell, being returned to the cell, will sit in a cross-legged posture and then be in the process of death, remaining in the mind of clear light. The Chinese, it is said, have been amazed at this.
They believe their own dogmatism. So you see, they regard Buddhism as something blind faith, so they try to keep silence.
Keep quiet about it.
Like that. So in India also, you see, quite a number of cases, some practitioner, remain like that way, sometimes a few days. In one case, in early, I think, 6 days, 27 days, or no, 17 days or something like that, he remained. Then, Namshi, Vese, later, Lungi Yawa, Lani, in Vese, Kabata, Ta, Tagi, Tadakan, in Kumalu.
Then,
what? Tagi, Ben Sosaj, Tayuna, and Vese, Namshi, Vese, Pavada.
If when the person is staying in the clear light and the body remains like so, then at that point when the mind of clear light or when the consciousness leaves the body will fall to a side. That's the stages of death. There are many opportunities for experiment here. It'll be very helpful. Question, Yunayan. Choose Chihato. Perhaps it'd be best to leave the rest of the questions to go on to the lecture. In the four schools of Buddhist tenets, there are differing presentations of what the two truths are. In the Vaibhashika system, it is asserted that any phenomenon which, when physically broken down or mentally isolated in its parts, no longer generates a consciousness thinking of that type of object, that type of object is a conventional truth, whereas an object which, no matter how it is broken down physically or isolated into parts mentally, still generates the thought of that object, that type of object is an ultimate truth.
Da?
Then in the Sautrantika system, it is said that a phenomenon which ultimately is able to perform a function is an ultimate truth, whereas a phenomenon that is not able ultimately to perform a function is a conventional truth. Thus, all impermanent things are ultimate truths. And then in the Chittamatra system, an object which is a final, any phenomenon, that phenomenon which is the final object of awareness of the path of purification is an ultimate truth. And those that are not that are conventional truths. And in the Madhyamaka system, it is as I explained yesterday.